are now invited to step through the doorway of time to explore a piece of the puzzle to life's hidden mysteries. What ancient secrets lie just beneath the surface of these eternal questions? Who am I? What is my karma? And why, oh why, is my life like this? Money, sex, power. What's your karma?
You're listening to Money, Sex, Power, What's Your Karma? The psychic show that talks to the living. I'm your host, Lilith Dahl, with co-host MG Babble and Promo Pete. Good morning, West Coast, and good afternoon, East Coast. And hello to all you good karma lovers out there. We're here every Friday on BBS Radio from 12 noon to 1 p.m. EST and 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. PST, bringing you good karma stories with MG, spiritual insights with Babble, and Promo Pete announcing the latest events and products that we offer to everyone who is interested in maintaining good karma. Later on in the show, I will also be taking calls from anyone listening out there who would like their karma read. The numbers to call for free karma reading are 1-877-876-5227 or 1-877-876-5185. Once again, if you'd like to have a free karma reading and call into the show, the numbers to call are 1-877-876-5227 and 1-877-876-5185. Before we get started, at the beginning of every show, I like to explain the definition of karma, because everyone has their own thoughts and feelings as to what karma really is and how it interacts with a person's life. Some people think it's the aura, some people think it's just general energy, and some people actually think it's fate. But the true and real definition of karma is as follows. The force generated by a person's actions, thought, word, and deed, which perpetuate reincarnation and determine the nature of their next existence, also known as cause and effect. I'll read that again. The force generated by a person's actions, thoughts, words, and deeds, which perpetuate reincarnation and determine the nature of their next existence, also known as cause and effect. So later on in the show, when you call in for your karma reading, you will have a greater understanding, hopefully, based on that definition of how the past affects the present and the future and what you need to do to have better outcomes in your life. Also, some people, when they call in for readings, do get information regarding their dharma, and many people don't really know or understand, the same as karma, what dharma really means. They think it's just general good luck, which is a very loose definition. But the true definition of dharma is a person's true life purpose that enables them to express and achieve their highest potential and destiny in the present lifetime or any given incarnation. So once again, dharma is a person's true life purpose that enables them to express and achieve their highest potential and destiny in the present lifetime or any given incarnation. So there you have it, the definitions of karma and dharma. The purpose of this show, Money, Sex, Power, What's Your Karma, is to make you think, question, and perhaps believe that what goes around really does come around in this life or the next or the one after that, and that by being more aware of this, you can make a difference to your life and self and perhaps interact with the lives of other people in a positive way. The karma readings I will give later also will hopefully shed light on why certain things are the way they are in each person's life and what can be done to change the situation for the better instead of perpetually repeating the same mistakes and problems over and over and over again. And all of us at Astral Productions, that's the four of us, MG, Babble, myself, and Promo Pete, hope to make these shows somehow empowering and healing and inspiring with a little bit of a touch of humor, because it's important to remember that even though the topic of karma can be a little bit heavy to tackle, you have to look at the bright side and know that as much as you created a situation, you also have the power to change it in a more positive way. And the key is to transform the negative into the positive and realize you have that ability so that you're not left hanging and constantly going through the same things over and over again, as I mentioned earlier. So having said all that, we'll begin the show with MG's stories and find out what good karma stories she has for us today. MG, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello. Your signature hello.
Hello, hello, hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, MG?
I'm great. How's everyone out there in good karma land? Hopefully everyone's good.
Okay. Before we get started, your good karma stories, I'm going to take a call because somebody's just called in. So just hold on for a second. Don't go away. So who do we have calling?
That's Zach.
Zach. Okay, Zach. So I'm assuming you're commenting if you're a karma reading.
Yep.
Okay. The karma I see for you is a lifetime in a position of power around the time of the Crusades. You had sufficient power in a religious sense that you had influence in terms of the Crusades and spreading Christianity around the world. Now, the point was, in that particular lifetime, to have that power was for you to not necessarily enforce your belief system onto other people, but to share it in a way that would have a positive outcome but not instigate war or disharmony. So as a result of that, you have to be very careful what you say, because in that lifetime you created karma because your words had power. People looked up to you in terms of what you had to say and the ideas that you have, and in that sense it was in a religious format. So in this lifetime, you have to be very careful what you say and the effects of your words, how they instigate or initiate situations in people's lives or in themselves, because you can use the power that you have on your words for good. Otherwise, you'll find if you're not mindful of what you say and the effect it has, it could turn out to be very, very negative and create disharmony or not necessarily war, but fighting and arguments and conflict amongst other people that could, in effect, reverberate back to you. So you have to be very, very careful in terms of your words and your thoughts, we'll say thoughts, then words, and how they affect other people. The positive side of this is that you have some certain amount of power in this lifetime that can be used in a very positive way, not only for your own prosperity and recognition, but that of others. But you'll find when you use it in a positive way for other people, things will happen very quickly in terms of doors of opportunity will open. You'll move forward through life and reach the level in terms of recognition of where you're supposed to be. But it all really comes down to what you say and the effect it has on people and situations, so that the outcome is always harmonious and positive. So that's the most important thing you have to remember at this point in time. Do you want to say on that? Okay. Is there anything else you want to add to that?
No.
Okay, then. Thank you for calling.
All right. Thanks, Lou.
Okay, bye. MG?
Hey. Hello.
Hey.
Hello. Wow, that was a long reading.
It was.
Formative.
Yeah, it was.
Should I go on with the quick summary story?
Yes, please do.
All right. I shall begin.
Try to begin.
Students at Marshall University, West Virginia, approve a mandatory fee to fund green projects like campus-wide recycling. If Marshall's Board of Governors signs off, the $5 per semester fee would take effect in fall 2009. The idea came entirely from the students, chairman of the Greening Marshall's Committee. So the students are basically trying to make the campus more green-friendly. And the Suffolk City Council of Virginia gave residents the okay to build wind turbines, and the idea may be catching on. Virginia Beach is looking into similar initiatives. Chesapeake is considering a turbine on city property, so Suffolk ordinance allows residents to build small towers with a permit needed for ones exceeding 120 feet tall. So in Virginia, residents are allowed to have wind turbines for renewable energy at their homes. So, and Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Oregon-based Iberdrola Renewables has submitted its latest permit application to the state's Public Utilities Commission to build a 306-megawatt wind farm on 77 acres in Brookings and Duell counties. The $700 million project would nearly triple the state's total production of wind energy, making enough electricity to power 148,000 homes. Coming out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the city's 3,500 public apartments are getting energy-saving heating and cooling units as part of a $25 million improvement project. Geothermal wells are now being drilled near the 501-unit Northview Heights housing project. So, from New Hampshire, a 19th-century mill building is being converted to help produce 21st-century fuel. American Energy Independence Company is turning the former Sunco Tannery in Pittsfield into its headquarters and a site for converting restaurant waste vegetable oil into fuel. So the company official said the plant will be running by December 1st. So, news across the Atlantic. Get this.
Mm.
The Vatican goes green, everyone.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
With 2,000 new solar panels at the Paul VI building. So these panels will constitute 60 to 70% of the building required energy. Therefore, other religious leaders have followed suit. The Church of England launched a carbon fast at the beginning of Lent this year. So the bishops led the effort by encouraging parishioners not to make traditional Lent sacrifices by giving up candy or et cetera, but to reduce their carbon output by avoiding plastic bags, replacing a light bulb with an energy-saving bulb, or even taking a day off from using the dishwasher. Even the Dalai Lama, a couple of panels installed, had his private living quarters at the Gaodenjung State Monastery. I'm not sure if I even pronounced that correctly. I apologize.
Okay.
So overall, with all this green news, I think there's like definitely a progression, you know, definitely a shift in consciousness and progression of taking responsibility for the well-being of our planet and progression in technology and you know, ideas for new opportunities for people who are looking for new jobs or something like that. I think that's something to look into, this whole green technology, renewable fuel, etc. So, speaking of progression, out of Cleveland, Ohio, Councilman Joe Sipperman has proposed making Cleveland the third Ohio community with a domestic partnership registry. He said it would show the city it's serious about tolerance as it tries to land a 2014 gay games. Cleveland Heights and Toledo already allow couples to register to prove eligibility for benefits such as health care. And, of course, if you've been listening to the news, you've heard that Connecticut has passed a law allowing same-sex marriage, which that leaves only two states, Connecticut and Massachusetts, making it legal for same-sex couples to have to marry.
Wow.
Which is unfortunate because, on the other hand, California banned same-sex marriage, which I feel that that's sort of an unfortunate incident, in my opinion, because it's sort of a demonstration of intolerance and inequality, because it was it was legal, and then they said, no, you can't get married. And I think people should sort of think about what this country is based on. This country is based on progress. You know what I mean? This country, just think about the times when inequality was legally practiced due to the color of your skin or even gender. Women couldn't even vote, and you know, the color of your skin, basically segregation and even slavery. So just think about how the progression of this country. So I think we need to sort of progress and letting go of your, you know, differences in little, you know, religious beliefs or even just sort of, you know, finding it lifestyle belief or whatever. But it's just about human right, human equality, and giving people, you know, two consenting adults who are in a loving relationship to be allowed that same chance to have a marriage, you know, not have to settle for another friendly term that's more palatable for other people to hear. You know, I think overall my theme of my good karma stories today is progress. Progress, progress, progress.
Yeah, I think so.
For good karma.
Expansion of people's consciousness too.
Expansion of consciousness, exactly.
Yeah, I definitely think so. They're great stories, MG. I really like those stories. I think you're absolutely right. I mean, we're definitely moving into a new vein overall, especially in this country, in terms of unity through diversity, or equality, harmony with people different from yourself, et cetera, et cetera. It's long overdue.
Yeah, it's definitely long overdue. And I was a little disheartened when knowing how much money and energy was put towards banning the same-sex marriage when, you know, millions and millions of dollars, I say, and those millions and millions of dollars could have been used to, I don't know, help feed, clothe, shelter, and medicate people who are less fortunate.
Totally agree.
I mean, that's millions and millions of dollars. And that million, you know, and it's just interesting to see how people put so much energy towards sort of inhibiting someone's happiness, progression, success, prosperity, you know, they put so much energy towards that. I mean, if you can really look at yourself, you know, and see the kind of your actions and the kind of person you really are you happy with that? Are you happy? Are you okay with that?
you know. So I think towards working towards having good karma and practicing good karma is just having a little more tolerance and being happy for other people's happiness. And
exactly, even if it doesn't resonate with your belief system. I think that's the hardest thing for most people, that they don't, they have such a strong belief in whatever that belief happens to be, they actually can't see past it. It becomes blinding to the reality and truth of the situation. They actually become symbolically blind, and they can't see clearly, you know, the
effects.
Exactly.
Everyone's entitled to their opinion, everyone's entitled to their own opinion and beliefs, but don't inhibit others, you know, from that same right, too.
Exactly. I totally agree with you. Well, hold on just a second, MG. We have another caller. Don't go away. Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Who's calling?
This is Maggie.
Oh, okay, Maggie. I have a karma reading for you.
Well,
the reading
I actually wanted to say something about how I feel about this week.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I actually wanted to share the incredible, wonderful feeling I feel about the effect that Barack Obama has had on me and so many of our friends with this Yes We Can slogan. It's really been motivating for me to listen to the excitement that this man has a listening for all these different people. I don't dislike Mr. Bush, but I really feel like we've been living under my way or the highway, and to have a leader like Barack Obama get elected and to have a listening for so many different people has aroused the hope in so many of us with just the logo, Yes We Can, and he's affected my life in making me believe that I can pursue a healthier course. And I've been really sick, and I couldn't even get to the fridge to get my medicine the other day, and I heard someone on the TV say, Yes, we can, and I thought, yes, that's right, we can, and we can. So I really wanted to just share how excited I am to have that, if that's his karma that he's putting over onto us. It's really wonderful.
Oh, absolutely, Maggie. I totally agree with you. I think it has resonated worldwide with everybody, everyone.
And it's exciting. I mean, I see the difficulties, and I don't really want to talk a political talk, but I see the difficulties he has. But his effect, karma-wise, has been amazing on me. Anyway, if you want to give me a little reading, that's fine, but I wanted to say that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Okay. The reason I have for you is a farmer in Mediterranean Europe. You were very, very prosperous. You grew a lot of crops, which were mainly food, which you shared with people who were starving and less off than yourself. The point was that you shared and shared and shared. The point, you ended up with nothing. You ended up starving and penniless, so you actually died with nothing. So the karma in that has to do with being a martyr of giving and giving and giving to the point you have nothing left for yourself. You have to learn to have boundaries of you can give, but you must make sure that you have for yourself too. You can't just, you know, randomly give so much to the point you're depleted and you can't function, you can't live. So that's the karma from that particular lifetime, which you started off very prosperous in this lifetime, but you know, your kind heart was such that you gave pretty much everything you had to people better off than yourself.
No, well, thank you. I'll heed your words and try and set some boundaries. I enjoy your show. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you for calling, Maggie. I really appreciate it.
Right here. Bye-bye.
Bye. MG?
Hey.
Yeah, that was great. That was great. That was wonderful. You know, go ahead.
No, I just like to add to the, you know, campaign slogan of Yes, We Can. When he won, everyone was saying, hope won. As opposed to fear, you know, everyone's been. So that's the sort of concept. Yes, we can, and hope won. So that's the sort of concept also of also going towards good karma, too, is that yes, we can, and hope won. Like, the possibilities are there. You know,
it's very, very true. I absolutely agree with you. You know, it has. I mean, the effect it's had on people, as Maggie said, is unbelievable.
Oh, it's a very positive effect. I'm just amazing to see how the world as a whole has come together towards this cause, this sort of yes we can and hope and faith and we can make the world a better place. I think it's just an amazing thing how it's not just something that's sort of within our own country, but it's a worldwide effect. It's really great. It is empowering to be part of that.
Yes, I absolutely agree with you. I absolutely agree. I think we're going to go to commercial break, and then we'll come back with Babbel's Insights.
Money, sex, power. What's your karma? The new psychic show that talks to the living about everyday people with everyday problems. Why do you do the things you do, and how can you fix it? Every Friday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Hosted by clairvoyant and author Lilith Dove. For a free karma reading, call 1-877-876-5227. Once again, for a free karma reading, call 1-877-876-5227. So, what's your karma?
You're listening to Money, Sex, Power, What's Your Karma, the psychic show that talks to the living. I'm your host, Lilith Dove, with co-hosts MG, Babbel, and Promo Pete. Good morning, West Coast, and good afternoon, East Coast. And hello once again to all you good karma lovers. We're here every Friday on BBS Radio from 12 noon to 1 p.m. EST and 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. PST, bringing you good karma stories with MG, the ones we just heard, Spiritual Insights with Babbel coming up shortly, and Promo Pete coming up later in the show, who will announce the latest events and products that we offer to everyone interested in maintaining good karma. I will be taking calls. I've already done some already. For people who would like their karma read, the numbers to call are 1-877-876-5227 or 1-877-876-5185. Once again, if you'd like a karma reading, call 1-877-876-5227 or 1-877-876-5185 for free karma reading. So let's go straight to Babbel and let's hear his insights. Babbel?
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I am so in sync with everybody. Synchronicity is a wonderful thing. My talk today, like every week, is how to keep spiritually fit in mind, body, spirit, and soul. And today I came up with a concept of what's possible, possibility. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as we heard already this morning from Maggie and in Mary Grace's stories, and by the way, I didn't call them to get this concept. I just thought about it this morning. What's possible for your life? In every moment, possibility is present. Some call this God. Some call this the cosmos, the universe, or whatever you call it. So what's keeping you from possibility? Well, in many talks prior to this show, it all boils down to action. Are you complaining and producing negative thought forms? For, you know, on this show, as you give out, so shall you receive. We call this the laws of karma on this show. Here's an example. If you give out fear and complaint, you're saying to the universe, nothing's possible. The action must be to let go and let God, as the phrase says, of the negative thoughts or complaints. It's keeping you from what's possible. Much like in your karmic readings, Lilith, most of the time there's a karma, an action to let go of or to stop what you're doing in order to cause change. And the instructions of action, if that person chooses to change, and the direction to take their lives. That's what I call possibility in this segment. If we can take a look at these new horizons and learn to let go of the past and the negative thoughts or complaints, and look forward to bright new futures, as Maggie said about, yes, we can, in a bright new future, the list of actions and perseverance and never giving up, we can only imagine the possibilities that could be present in one's life. Now, try to let go of the one thing this week, or maybe one fear by the end of the year. And then you'll find that on the other side of that fear is only love and possibility. And that's my segment this week. God
bless. Oh, I love that. Thank you so much. What have you got planned for us next in 2 weeks' time? I have to mention that, actually. We're going to be off next week. What's your next segment?
I haven't really thought about it.
Okay.
I'm not that far ahead.
I won't harass you about that, then. I'll leave it alone. Well, thank you so much, Babel, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Thank you. So, everyone listening, I did forget to mention that we're going to be off next Friday because we have some things going on that we have to take care of, and we'll be back on Friday, October the 28th. So take a note of that. We won't be at Money, Sex, Power, Watch Your Karma won't be here next Friday, the 21st. We will be back on Friday, October 28th. And if you'd like a free karma reading today, call in to 1-877-876-5227 or 1-877-876-5185 for your karma reading. Also, if you're not able to get through on the phone, please feel free to go out to our website, watchyourkarma.tv, www.watchyourkarma.tv. You'll see the webisodes from previous events that we filmed. Also, you can sign up for an email reading by joining Facebook. And we have Karma Stars, astrology. There's many, many ways that you can get a reading or just make a private appointment if you're not able to get through, because many people have said to us since we've been doing this show that they've tried to get through and they're not able to get through because the lines are busy. So, as I said, go to watchyourkarma.tv if you'd like to get an email reading, private reading, watch the webisodes, read Karma Stars. There's lots of things there for you to participate in. So, as I said earlier, we try to make the show empowering and healing so that people can take what they get from the show and perhaps if they do get a reading, take the information and apply it to their lives, improve themselves and their lives in some way, shape, or form in a positive way so that they can move forward. And so that everybody understands that, you know, karma affects everybody. It's not singled out for certain people who may do something or not do something. It applies to everyone. It's natural law. It's the law of the universe. So as you give out, so you shall receive, as Babel mentioned earlier. So you have to pay attention to thought, word, and deed, and how you can be more mindful of that and how it will affect you, your life, or the lives of other people, how you treat other people, to follow the golden rule, to treat other people in a way that you wish to be treated yourself, which, as simple as it may sound, is one of the hardest things for most people to do, because they say what they want to say, they do what they want to do, and never really stop to take responsibility for thought, word, and deed, and the effect it's going to have on other people. So the purpose of this show is really to try and help people to understand on the simplest of levels that they do have power. They do have power and control over the effect of things in their life and the effects of other people, and it's a ripple effect. And basically, the world is the way it is because we made it that way. No one else made it the way it is except us. But just as we made it this way, we have the capacity to change it. And as Maggie said, and as MG said, and Babel said earlier, the current, you know, theme with Barack Obama, you know, being elected as president has sent a ripple effect of I would say, positive energy and the vibration of hope. Yes, we can, you know, unity through diversity. There's so many messages that you can take from what's occurred in the election recently to see the direction that we as a country, as a planet, need to move towards to have more harmony and improve things overall. So having said that, it's important that everybody realizes that each person can do their bit, they can do their part. You know, you're not helpless. You don't have to just leave it up to politicians, you know, or somebody else to do it, as was shown in the election. Everybody, as many people as they possibly could, went out to vote. Everybody participated because they wanted change. So it's the same in your life. If you want change, participate in making the change happen in the most positive way possible. Take your ideas, go out into the world, do something with them. Be a participant in life, direct your life, be a driver in life. Don't be subject to the winds of fate just blowing you here and there like a leaf in the wind. Take responsibility and decide how you're going to mold and shape your life in a way that's going to bring you happiness and fulfillment, and be positive not only for you but for the people in and around your life. And so if you do this, you'll see positive outcomes in the very near future. Things will start to happen. But if you're passive or stagnating, then it's going to be a lot harder, because then you have to look at within yourself to see what it is that's allowing you or supporting the stagnation or passivity in yourself and your life, and try to root it out and do something about it, so you're not constantly stuck in that vibration, you know, on a consistent basis, which will then lead your life into a downward spiral. So, NG, are you still there?
I'm still here.
I can hardly hear you.
Oh.
Oh, there you are. I can hear you now. You've done it so far away.
Yeah.
I like the themes for today. I think that everybody's on the same wavelength today.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I haven't spoken with Babel about my stories, and you know, so it's kind of interesting how everyone sort of are on the same page, you know. And I also like to add that, you know, remove the limitations that you've set upon yourself. Just let go of the limitations, whether that's age or gender or social status or education or experience or whatever. Let go of the limitation expand your horizons. Is that the terminology?
Yes.
Expand
yes.
your horizons. Let go of the limitations. Because if you look at, you know, we keep using Barack Obama as an example, but he had many limitations.
Oh,
coming
yes.
in. You know, from the point of view, like, wow, you know, and he overcame a lot of his limitations. You know, in my last week's stories, they said 2 years ago, it wasn't even possible to even think that there was some, an African-American would become president. You know, two years ago, not even like
a year ago.
A year ago, exactly. or even a few months ago, you know, people were, I think people who were supporting his campaign, and when they announced that he won, I think some of them were in shock. They were like, pinch me. Is this real? Is this true? And it is. It's true. And he overcame a lot of obstacles, and he let go of his limitations, you know.
Yes,
so a lot of people say, oh, I don't know. Because, I mean, it's not just about the color of his skin, but when he came out, it's like, oh, you know, he was sort of the underdog, you know.
Yes,
and
I know. That's why
like,
it's such a historic thing, because he had a lot of limitations. I mean, as you said, the percentage rate of him winning was probably none, zero, in terms of most people's minds, I'm sure.
Exactly. So, I mean, I think that he's a great role model in the sense of a public figure of what we're trying to instill in our audience and people about overcoming limitations and progressing within itself and attaining good karma. Attaining good karma is basically all-encompassing, basically what he has accomplished, sort of achieving the impossible, you know.
Yeah, making the impossible
and having
possible.
A positive effect. Exactly. Yeah,
without question. And also, I think because people, I think, thought it was more likely that a woman, meaning Hillary Clinton, would have won, which it was definitely possible without question. But never would they have thought that someone of color would have, you know, be in that position now, or I would say even beat her in the election, really. I don't think anybody would have thought that a year ago.
Exactly. I mean, he worked hard. He, you know, he had a great team, and they never gave up. I mean, there was just so many inspiring things that through this whole progression of his campaign of people can take from to sort of implement in their own lives. You know, and he also carried himself in a very civil, professional, like, you know, I mean, when he was thrown a lot of mud, he didn't go back and throw that, you know, but he basically just stood his ground, and if he felt like he needed to stand up for himself, he did, but he didn't go to the mud, to the level of having to sort of mudsling, I guess, and that's
which
also...
that like, level, yeah.
Exactly, and that's also a good way to sort of to carry yourself too, you know. I mean, because we, you know, people need to understand that you have the power to affect yourself and others around you by how you behave, how you think, what you say, et cetera.
I definitely think so, and I think that not stooping to that level or lowering himself to do that really made it his whole campaign more powerful. He could have easily gone to that level, you know, because some of the things they said about him were really, really horrible.
Exactly. And also, you know, it's obvious people are leaning towards more of the positive. You know, they weren't really impressed by the negative campaigning. You know, they were looking for someone that can have a more positive outlook, a more civil outlook on things. You know, so it's, you know, it seemed like for a while it was okay to sort of not behave that way, you know, mm-hmm. but now that we have this new leader, public figure setting these sort of examples, people are like, you know what, this is what how I want to lead, this is how I want to behave, this is what, you know, I think is more acceptable, is carrying myself in this fashion and behaving this way.
And I think this shows he has integrity, because I think when you lower yourself to the point that you have to start saying those things about a person, what kind of integrity do you have as an individual?
Exactly. I mean, that's, you know, it is surprising to see people who claim to be, I'm a good person, I'm a religious person, I'm a spiritual person, or exactly, but, or whatever, and they practice intolerance or practice, you know, things that aren't so nice towards other people, you know.
Exactly.
Openly or secretly, you know.
Yeah. And also, I think, you know, for young people, it sends a message that now you have no excuses, you know, in terms of achieving what you need to achieve in life or reaching your highest potential. There's no excuses. No matter what your level or background is, what you're going through, there's no excuse.
There's no excuses. And it also shows that no excuses, but the possibilities are there if you just put your mind to it. I mean, it definitely wasn't an easy road for him, but he was so determined, and look where it got him, you know. And he had such a idealistic point of view that he wanted to help and share this with, you know, on a mass level. And that's also another thing, too. His goals were to serve, you know, serve the people, you know, to serve. Because, you know, it's a huge responsibility. I mean, coming in as a president and then also coming into this, you know, as a Floyd's first president, he's inherited a lot of problems, but he still, you know, say, I'm going to go for this because I believe in serving the people and giving them the opportunity to change and, you know, to improve this country, to make this country back to how it was in the sense of economic strength, et cetera, et cetera. So it's interesting how the selflessness of the service he put forth, because that's a huge responsibility. And
it is.
He went
huge.
Full throttle to say, I have the ideas, I want to help, I want to serve this country to make it better. So service again, service and progress.
Yeah, it came from his heart. It was sincere in that his service to others was sincere. So I think that was a sort of underlying motivating force and power, as opposed to coming from a position of negativity from others and trying to force their perception of life and ideology onto others. It wasn't for him. It was about just serving people, as you said, to make the country better. You know, as a true, you know, American and a true African-American, and on all levels, really, if you look at it from both sides, you know, he really believed in his country and the potential of what it should be, what it's supposed to be.
Exactly, and that kind of faith and belief should be within ourselves, the country, and the planet as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
if
it's possible, it's possible on all levels.
Yes, I definitely think so. And I think it's an example to all people, you know, regardless of what their belief system is, that, you know, whatever it is you believe in, then take those belief systems and use them in a positive way. Don't use them to hurt and harm others or to make others' lives miserable. You know, as you said in terms of Proposition 8, is you use it in a positive way to heal, help, serve others, and, you know, practice what you preach in a positive way. Don't be intolerant of others. And even though you may not agree with, you know, what they believe in, how they want to live their lives, et cetera, et cetera, it makes them happy. As long as it's positive, it makes them happy. Leave them alone. You know,
they're not hurting anyone. You know, not hurting anyone. If you're not hurting anyone, then why do you? Why you know you, you should be allowed to have that support same, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I mean, it's unfortunate that so many things that are not too good are done in under the banner of religious beliefs. It's very sad. It's that has to happen. That people will take their religious beliefs and use it in a way to make other people's lives miserable.
Exactly. I mean, you have to think about what this country is founded on, you know, freedom and equality for all. So, you know, as time progresses, we sort of notice that, oh, there's inequality being practiced, you know, with people of color and your gender. So we made progress to amend that and say women can vote, you know, no to slavery, no to segregation. So now we need to move forward, and, you know, with this same-sex couples, just no to intolerance.
I know. And you know, just for argument's sake, imagine if there is really life on other planets. I mean, some people believe there is, some people believe there isn't. I'm sure that there will be aspects of life about those beings on other planets that, you know, we here on Earth would not find, you know, too positive or really want to participate in, but how would you deal with that? You know, how would you deal with that? You know, so I often wonder when people, you know, behave in such a way, you know, in the years to come, maybe not in our lifetime, when it's discovered there is life on planets far, far away, how are they going to deal with that? Because it most likely may not look like us, and certainly their lifestyle may not be similar, I would imagine.
So that's definitely, you know, experiencing something very different and from yourself.
And actually, on that subject, I read, where was it? I read it. It was on the CNN News bulletin board that scientists have discovered planets something like three trillion something miles away, but they already have come to the conclusion, because it's not Earth-like, there's no way there could be life on these, I think it's three planets, there's just no way, because they're not Earth-like. So they can continue searching for Earth-like planets where there could be life. I find it just very amusing that in order for a planet to have life, it has to be Earth-like.
Yeah, that's
it's a little strange way of thinking.
It's like, if you look at the planet alone, I mean, you know, how we as humans, what do we need to, live, oxygen, air, food, air. How about those beings that are like living in like the depth of the ocean? They don't need the same requirements as we do to live. You know what I mean? So, so I don't know how that thinking works.
I know. I know that scientists and scientists have a very, you know, sort of limited perception of things. It has to be very black and white. But it's just astounding to me that their analogy was, okay, well, we've discovered these three planets. They're not Earth-like, so they can't be life. So let's keep looking for Earth-like planets. It's just bizarre. Why would you assume that? And why do they have to be human, and why does the planet have to be Earth-like to support any kind of life? I just think that's strange.
Yeah, well, I knew a scientist, you know, they are very pragmatic, and everything has to be so concrete. It's almost like it's kind of hard to even get your head around it, for someone to think that way. It's like, you really do think that way. It's like, how do you perceive life in such a black and white point of view? There's no in-between, you know, and I think that's also just how we should approach life in general. It's like have less black and white and more of a, you know, understanding the in-between, the things that are sort of kind of like can't quite grasp, but sort of be open to it, that the possibilities of, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's the same as when people ask me about what I do, you know, being clairvoyant, the people who can't get their head around how that's even possible or think it's not possible. I say, well, you know, look at life. If you think that life is black and white and everything you see on a daily basis is life and that's it, there's nothing else other than what you see on a daily basis, then you're limited in your perception, because life, just the same as, you know, people in the world aren't just black or white. There's red, there's yellow. I mean, there's all different gradations of color. So life in itself is not black or white. It's black, white, and gray, and the gray is a mixture of the two. It may not be as tangible, but it's definitely there. So it's the same as what I do. It might not be tangible to everybody, but what I do is actually real and there. And it's the gray in between. That's the paranormal. This is sort of unseen world. Although it's not unseen, it's those who have the eyes to see and the ears to hear can interact with that gray world or the paranormal world. But everybody has some ability on some level to tap into certain things that aren't necessarily tangible. But if you close your mind to thinking that's real, then your perception will always be very limited, and you'll be living your life in a box, basically. And you'll never see outside of the box, and so your life will reflect that. If you're not ever opening to learning and exploring new ideologies, new perceptions, and so you can expand your mind and consciousness and grow as a person, then you're limiting your own self-growth.
Yes,
so
I've seen how when the limited consciousness affects what they perceive. There was some evidence they were showing, like, some paranormal activity. And, you know, it was quite evident there was something that was not, normal. You know, not something that what we normally see.
Uh-huh.
But people were like, oh, it's a trash bag. It didn't look like a trash bag. You know, oh, it's just a piece of paper floating around. It didn't look like a piece of paper floating around. It's just funny how their limited perception of or just not wanting to, you know, deal with that. It's just like they just wanted to see what they wanted to see, even though clearly it wasn't a trash bag or a piece of paper floating around. Or lint. I got caught up on the lens or something. It was just fascinating.
Dust on the lens.
Dust, or, you know.
That's very funny. I totally agree with you. I mean, as people, I think a lot of it is fear, as Babel mentioned earlier, because if you're afraid to look at something that's outside of your realm of reality, then that means you have to change your perception about something, and that means that might affect your life in some way. But it's a good thing, because then it means you have to expand your consciousness and expand your perceptions of life.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just going to stagnate.
That was a good point about bringing up fear, because fear does have a lot of limitations on people. I mean, you know, it definitely is like, oh, I don't know if I could do that, or I don't, you know, it definitely puts a lot of limitation on people. And I think the fact that in Obama's campaign where, you know, they said that hope won, and not allowing the fear to, like, well, you know, if we voted for him, what will happen to, you know what I mean? Like, but it's, you know, they allow a chance to believe that we can overcome all those fears, all those things that limit us. If we keep living in fear, we're not going to interact with people different from us, or we're not going to interact with anything outside of what we know, you know, things like that.
It's very true. It's very, very true. Well, let's go to commercial break, then we're going to come back with a promo peek before we end the show.
Money, sex, power. What's your karma? The new psychic show that talks to the living about everyday people with everyday problems. Why do you do the things you do, and how can you fix it? Every Friday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Hosted by clairvoyant and author Lilith Dove. For a free karma reading, call 1-877-876-5227. Once again, for a free karma reading, call 1-877-876-5227. So, what's your karma?
Hello, everyone. This is Promo Pete. Every week, I'll bring to you all the new exciting products and services we at Astrobabble Productions have to offer. Today, I would like to share with you this week's Karma Stars astrological forecast for the week of November 16th to November 22nd. Our Karma Stars video blog takes a fresh approach to the interpretation of astrology. Each video school pinpoints the right action to navigate and optimize success and fulfillment in one's life. The video blog, which is updated every Sunday, will provide a unique insight into daily life, incorporating the three main drivers of the human race: money, sex, and power. It is also important to note that these karma horoscopes are not computer-generated and authored by Lilith. The following coming week, November 16th to November 22nd, Aries. This week, it's important to be clear about the things that make you happy and the things that don't, so you can implement the necessary changes. You have to be willing to let go of childhood dreams and perceptions that realistically don't fit into the current framework of who you are and the direction you need to move towards. Taurus, you'll have to balance priorities of the home and for yourself, taking into consideration that you cannot be all things to all people, which means you have to draw boundaries with certain people and situations. The answers lie within. Gemini, your mind will be full of many creative ideas that you want to put into action. Otherwise, they'll turn out to be nothing but scattered energy accomplishing nothing. Cancer, make sure that in your efforts to succeed and be recognized, you don't ignore the feelings and sensitivities of others. You may think that you're being aware and supportive, but in actual fact are not aware of the fact that you're stepping on the feelings of those around you. Leo, in order to make your mark and make your presence felt, you cannot be afraid or insecure in any way. At the same time, you have to be careful of overasserting yourself to the point that you may be perceived as domineering, impulsive, or forceful. Virgo, you may feel disappointed at letting yourself down due to indecisiveness and or wishy-washy thinking that isn't conducive to making things happen in a timely fashion. This is the time to be focused on the things that are important and not get caught up in distracting activities that pull you away from your goals. Libra, try to have the inner strength and courage to confront inner struggles in growth and expressing yourself that are currently hindering progress and the ability to create and meet life's challenges. If you can begin to separate yourself from the old and tap into the person that you really are and always knew you were, then you'll experience tremendous inner strength, courage, focus, and energy to forge ahead in a new and powerful way. Scorpio, if you want to experience happiness and some kind of success, you'll be able to free yourself from dominated by others and obstacles that are created you trust too much. Sagittarius, as you continue to try and expand your horizons outside of your comfort zone, you must take into consideration that things ultimately make you happy. Otherwise, you'll find yourself wasting time on things that bring little or no fulfillment. Capricorn, this week be willing to examine yourself and life to make sure you're living up to your highest potential. Be careful of manipulating others consciously or unconsciously for your own benefit or using charisma to obtain a desired response. Aquarius, be careful of allowing others to force you into doing things that you know are not right or beneficial to you in any way, or make hastily impulsive decisions that ultimately hurt you in the end. Aquarius, as a sign, has a very strong instinct and must be trusted enough to guide you in the right direction. And lastly, Pisces, you'll have all the right ideas and know what to do and how to do it when it comes to implementing any new ideas for work and career. However, taking consideration that others may not understand or be on board with your suggestions, therefore be gentle and thoughtful with your communications. So there you have it, your Karma Stars for a week of November 16th to November 22nd. For a more expanded forecast for each astrology sign, you can always log on to our main media website at the Karma Stars link on whatsyourkarma.tv. That's whatsyourkarma.tv. Also, check out our Think Good Karma Store on whatsyourkarma.tv. And remember, always think and dream of world peace and good karma. Thank you.
Thank you, Promo Pete. That was Promo Pete giving you our latest products and other things that we have to offer from Astrobabble Productions. As he said, go to our website, whatsyourkarma.tv, to sign up for our email readings, private events, workshops, which, oh, I forgot to mention quickly, we do have a workshop this Sunday in Manhattan, New York. All the information is on our website, whatsyourkarma.tv. The topic will be, are you fulfilling your life purpose? It starts at 7 p.m. on Sunday evening, so feel free, if you're listening in New York, to sign up and attend, and I will be doing readings associated with the topic. You've been listening to Money, Sex, Power, What's Your Karma, the psychic show that talks to the living. I'm your host, Liz Dove. I've been here with co-host MG, Babylon Promo Pete. So now as we come to the end of the show, I thank you all for listening and all those people that called in for their karma reading. I know there's lots more of you out there who are listening, but are still afraid to call in to get your karma reading, but we'll catch you in 2 weeks' time. We'll be back on the 28th. We're taking some time off to do a private event next Friday, but we're looking forward to speaking with you, and call in at 1-877-876-5227. For your free karma reading every Friday on Money, Sex, Power, What's Your Karma. I hope you all enjoyed the show. And just one thought to remember before I go. Remember, what goes around comes around. And if you know the cause, you can change your fate. So what's your karma?
money, sex, power. What's your karma? The new psychic show that talks to the living about everyday people with everyday problems. Why do you do the things you do and how can you fix it? Every Friday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Hosted by clairvoyant and author Lilith Dove. For a free karma reading, call 1-877-876-5227. Once again, for a free karma reading, call 1-877-876-5227. So, what's your karma?